Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome everybody to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's guest is a podcast favorite. It's Bree Seeley. Now, I interviewed her over about 2 years ago, maybe a little under, and it was interesting because when we had her on the show last time, she was talking about what she was doing, just phasing out of the fashion industry and how she was sort of broaching this new idea. And funny enough, after our interview, shortly after that, she had a massive breakdown and almost quit that job. Fast forward to today, she's had an interesting trajectory. She's on her way to building a 7-figure job, and she's launching a book called Permission to Leap. So today's podcast is for everyone who hasn't given themselves permission to leap. You know, the famous sayings, I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe now isn't the best time. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. I need to earn more money in my current job before really committing. This is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to overcome all these limiting beliefs and how to stay honest through these chasms of doubt. Welcome to the show, Bree.
Hi, Tayo. It's so good to be back. So I told you I was going to surprise you with something. Our podcast 2 years ago is still one of my favorites. And do you know why?
Why?
You sang to me. You sang Toni Braxton to me on that podcast. And I still, to this day, and I'll even like compare it to other podcasts and be like, yeah, but Tayo sang to me. So you have quite the reputation to uphold.
Well, thank you so much. You know, it's funny that you say I sang to you. No one in my friend circle or family circle wants to hear me sing because I have the most horrible voice, but it doesn't stop me. But I appreciate you remembering that. I think it was Unbreak My Heart that I sang.
Yep, sure was.
Oh, man, but it is so good to have you on there. I mean, I remember loving your energy, and obviously we've gone on to be Facebook friends, and I've seen everything you've done since then. But I want to unpack. The audience might not know what you've done. So take us back to the moment when we did the first podcast. You had mentioned you had this massive breakdown. What led to that breakdown, and what has happened since then?
Yeah, so right around when we talked, I was, I think, about like 8 months into my coaching business. So I had decided to shut down my fashion brand. It wasn't working for me anymore. It didn't feel great anymore. The universe had been like hinting at me, like leaving like winks and nods all over the place to kind of push me in this new direction. And so I finally heard them and I finally said yes to that. And I spent 9 months really doing the inner work. Like figuring out, like you said earlier, what are my doubts? What are my beliefs? What energy am I coming into every single day? How are the things that I've been taught in my past really shaping the results I'm getting now and who I am in the world right now? And how is that unaligned with the woman that I want to be in the world? And so when you talked to me, I was like at the very tail end of that kind of like massive, I call it my inner spring cleaning, where I took like an energetic Brillo pad and just like scrubbed everything got rid of all the stuff that didn't work, all the stuff that didn't fit anymore. And towards the end, I think we spoke in December, and at the end of December, December 31st, I couldn't pay my rent.
Wow.
And I think in my first 9 months of coaching, I got 4 paying clients or something. And it is a hard industry to break into. Plus, as a coach, you have to do all the work first. You have to do all your own stuff before you can support someone else in going through theirs. And so, yeah, I just hit this wall at the end of December and was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I tried getting waitressing jobs. I tried getting, like, you know, pulling in all these other streams of income. And the universe was pretty clear. Like, I was told I was unemployable. I was told I was too ambitious. I was told that, you know, everything by other employers, that they just basically wouldn't hire me because I was, in their eyes, too good or too far ahead or too much. I would get bored. And so I called my mom and asked if they would help pay my rent, and she said no. And so I was at this massive crossroads at the end of December and was like, great, so I don't know how I'm paying my rent starting tomorrow. And I don't have any money coming in, and I don't know what to do, and no one's going to hire me. And basically what I ended up having to do was really, really, in a way I'd never before, walk my talk. And I doubled down, and, you know, I was backed into a corner, and I managed to figure it out. And that month, January 2016, I pulled in $15,000.
Oh my goodness. What? $15,000 from not being able to pay rent? Yeah. First of all, that rent story is something I totally relate to. I've had many of those before I got to where I am. But
yeah,
talk to me about $15,000. How did you go from zero to $15,000?
Part of it was I started taking a deeper stand for myself. So I've always been a people pleaser to an extent. And, you know, I would have people message me and be like, oh, what you've created is so amazing. Can I pick your brain? And I'd always be like, yeah, we can go get coffee. And I started in that month being like, no, you cannot pick my brain. The knowledge that I have, I mean, at that point, I'd been an entrepreneur for 7 or 8 years. I was like, the knowledge and skills that I have are valuable. And if you're interested in me supporting you or me helping you in any way, shape, or form, this is what it looks like to work with me. Mm. And I had a lot of people be like, okay, I'm in. Like, no questions asked.
That's crazy.
That was part of it. Another part was, you know, I ended up getting really creative. And I had a few friends who needed help managing their Instagram accounts. And I started, even though it wasn't my business, started pulling in some Instagram clients because I figured out at that point how to do really well on Instagram, grow your account, get followers, all this stuff. And so it was a multitude of different things, but I just kind of put pedal to the metal and was like, I got to figure this out. Something has to give. I'm going to make it work, and did whatever it took to get on the other side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something to be said about when your back's against the wall and you have a mission that you really believe in. It's what you said. Are you brave enough? Do you give yourself permission to actually walk the talk? And if you look at the common thread with several, high name-worthy, you know, entrepreneurs now, a lot of them will have moments like this when they really had to take a gamble on themselves. They really had to decide, I've had this thought in my head for so long. Do I truly believe in what I'm saying? And if I do, am I willing to take the risk and go it all? And it sounds like that's what you did. And you got creative. You're not doing Instagram marketing now, right? You're not doing any of that, but you found a way, you know, to do what it is. You know, some people will take Craigslist jobs, some people will do Uber, some people will do Lyft, but they'll still stay focused on the goal. So my next question for you is, even though you were doing all these odd jobs, how did you stay focused on where you wanted to go, your intended destination?
So my priority just in general every single day is always my business. So even though I was doing other things, every single day, the first actions I would take were in relation to my business. And so I usually have a habit of like doing 2 to 3, maybe 4 things a day that are like really impactful to my business. And I figure out whatever those 2, 3, 4 things are. I get those done first at the beginning of the day. And then I have the rest of the day to, you know, schedule social media or do, you know, other people's projects or like all these other things. But my priority, my main focus was still growing my business, getting my coaching brand going, all of that stuff.
Right, right, right. And what would you say your business is to those that might not know?
So right now I am still coaching. I do group coaching and private coaching. And then I also now am an author.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Yay. And I have a podcast and I am speaking. I'm starting to get booked for keynotes and all sorts of stuff. So
Yeah. It's so funny. Obviously my career obviously started off with the podcast, then led to the speaking, then led to writing and, you know, coaching. And you're a coach, then you have a podcast and now you're speaking. So for those listening, there is no one path is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It looks like it's inverted with me and Bree's career, but we are still able to create content if you have a voice. And it doesn't matter where you start. If you start off as a coach, you start off as a podcast, or start off as a writer. If you're truly, truly committed to what you're doing and you believe that you're providing value, those clients can create an ecosystem for you to spread your message in a multitude of ways. That's what the 21st century presents with digital platforms.
And what I was going to say as I'm like rattling off all those like job titles, like basically my job, my career is like having a voice and being a voice.
Yeah.
And so right now it looks like being a voice for women to support them and bringing their visions to life. Yeah. But you know, I'm also a voice. I have a few posts coming out, very feminist oriented in the next few weeks that are quite different from the narrative that's being spoken right now. And so I feel like my job is to have a platform and really stand for important issues and support people in doing so in their lives for themselves as well.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. And I particularly love a lot of the feminist slants, just because I love gender equality and I feel like it's something that we need to do. We need to smash patriarchy, especially in today's leadership. And I don't know that enough leaders are doing that. So thank you for being a voice in that way.
Well, and one of the posts that's going to come out for me too is like, yes, the patriarchy is super oppressive to women and minorities and all these other things. And like specifically for women, and speaking of like the wage inequalities, I see a lot of women talking about it and we're like, well, it's the patriarchy's problem. Like it's their problem. They need to fix it. And then we'll have wage equality. But what I'm realizing is that it's not their problem. It's our problem. Like as a woman, it's my problem. If I'm not teaching my women how to stand up for themselves and ask for and demand their worth in the world, then I'm not doing my job correctly. And as women, it is our responsibility. Like, yes, of course, as a man, if you're employing a woman.
I was
like,
going to say that. Yeah. I was going to say it has to work in tandem.
It does. But I think a lot of women don't want to take responsibility for their part in it. And until we are able to stand up and say, I am absolutely not standing for this anymore. Like, I just see too many women putting their power in the hands of other people. And it's like, yes, okay, you have this job. They don't want to pay you enough. But by you staying there, that's also on you, right? Like, so if you want the tides to be shifted, you have to take your own power back and do something about it. Because if you're sitting around waiting for someone else to make a change, you're going to be waiting for a really long time.
Interesting. No, this is interesting. So the way I definitely understand exactly what you're saying. And the way that I'm hearing, you know, translating what you're saying is that everybody has a role to play towards achieving equality. And, you know, me as a man, I feel like calling out things, whether it's due to the recent Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey type behaviors, calling out those type of behaviors and making sure workplaces are safe enough for women and actually standing up for that is something that I have a responsibility to do. I feel like me being in a room and observing different biases where someone says, you're a woman, she's going to get pregnant later, so I'm going to give her a pay cut, is something I can say and cut that out early. So I feel, I feel like that's a role I can play as a man. But what you're saying as a woman, it's something that I'm sure you have way more experience in than I am. So I can't wait to see the post and see what you have to say, just because I'm sure it's going to be a learning opportunity for me just to realize what you're saying when you say women can take power more.
Yeah, I'm excited. It just kind of started forming this weekend. So we'll see where it goes and what comes out of it. But
We will see indeed. So another question that I have then, obviously, seeing you on Facebook, I didn't know about the breakdown part, but I knew that you were sort of having this change in direction where you would publicly manifest things, basically, and then you would talk about how you achieve them, you know, whether it's an office space or something like that.
Yep.
Can you talk about that process? You know, it's, you know, because to some, obviously, it sounds like woo-woo type of stuff, but I just want to understand what you were doing through that process and how it happened.
Yeah, so, yeah, manifestation is woo or whatever. I look at it through the lens of actually more like physics.
Mm.
So the way that our world works is that everything in our physical reality has a vibration. It has an energetic frequency. And so the idea behind manifestation is basically that you tune your energetic frequency to be in alignment with whatever it is that you desire, the energetic frequency of whatever it is that you desire. And that once your energetic frequency matches the energetic frequency of the thing that you desire for a consistent enough basis and you're taking active action towards it, that thing comes into your life.
Yeah.
That's like kind of the basics of it. That's like a super kindergarten level speak about it. But yeah, that's basically the practice. And so for me, it's been about building habits to increase and change my energetic frequency and sustain it. Because a lot of people do, like, they'll do manifestation practices and they'll meditate for 15 minutes a day, and then they immediately switch back to, but this is my reality.
Right.
And
right.
So it's that constant like switch back and forth that you're like, you're not actually making a long sustainable change in your energetic frequency because you're immediately defaulting back to, well, this is the information that my physical world is giving me, so this is reality. And so I operate in between two worlds. I operate between the physical world, which is everything we can see, touch, feel, experience with our five senses, and I operate in a more of an unseen world as well, or as I refer to it in my book, the spiritual world, which is all of the things that we can't see, energy, thoughts, feelings, beliefs, magic, synchronicities, all of that stuff.
Okay. Well, so no, I want to stay on this trend here. So obviously that's something you did, and this isn't something you can say that it came out of magic. You weren't given anything. We talked about your right. different phases in career. You've made it to a great place in fashion. You said that wasn't enough for you. You changed the sort of content, and then you went to coaching, and you went to the lowest lows. You were doing jobs that you weren't necessarily maybe interested in, but you worked your way up from having your parents say no to getting rent. So for you, there's no such thing as excuses. But I want to sort of get into this mindset, since you're a coach and you deal with a lot of people that have, maybe sometimes they let limiting beliefs be their narrative. Why do you feel like people postpone things? I mean, we have this interesting, we're about to end the year, right? It's about to be December. Someone's going to come up with, I'm doing this in 2018. Why do you feel like people always postpone their dreams and they give themselves an out? Why?
Yeah, it's a comfort zone issue. So the way that our brains are wired, and this goes literally back to like the inception of the human species, right? The way that our brains were wired back then, we were cavemen. We only had a few inputs. And so our brains were developed to be very simple. They're developed for safety and danger. And that was about all that they had at the beginning, right? So I just did this analogy the other day. I was like, it's like we're living with like Macintosh, what was it, E2 computer brains, but we're in an expansion pack, that we're like in this virtual reality expansion pack, but our brains are still functioning like on the Microsoft E2 level. So what happens is when we think about making these changes in our lives, when we think about going after our dreams or our vision or our desires, our brain categorizes that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
As danger.
Yeah.
Not as safety. Yeah. Because it's different and it's unknown and you can't see it yet. So because it categorizes it as danger, your brain and your body and your nervous system are going to do everything in its power to keep you out of danger. Because that's what your brain was designed to do. It was designed to keep you safe and keep you alive. So your brain literally thinks that by you not going to the gym, it is keeping you safe and keeping you alive. But the problem is, going to the gym isn't going to kill you. And so you have to start to learn to distinguish, okay, so I'm having this fear, I'm having this resistance. Is it because I'm actually literally in danger and I need to not do it? Or is it just that my brain is processing this as danger because it's new and it's different? And in that case, I get the opportunity to be like, ah, I see you. I see what you're doing. I know what this is. And I'm choosing something different.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is so deep. That's so profound. Brains are, you know, it's safety, danger, you know, flight or fight. And wow. You're right with the gym thing, you know, we like, ah, we'll do it tomorrow because we feel like, we don't want to get out of our comfort zones for now. And tomorrow's still there and I still have the membership and what's one day going to hurt? But the problem is, when you keep saying one day more, that ends up being 12 months. And you're like, oh my goodness, I've actually gotten worse. And my mindset hasn't improved. And so I think you're right. It definitely does involve a lot of mental work, though. And you have to rewire your brain to tell yourself different stories. You know,
totally.
For example, if you say, I don't want to go to the gym because I'm tired and I'm feeling lazy. Or if I go to the gym, I have more of an opportunity to live the life that I want to live in a more healthy way. You know, that's what I always tell myself. I'm like, I want to be able to do this for a long time. And one of the ways to do that is to be physically healthy. So I just, you know, wire that and that pushes me through.
Ah. The other, I saw a video on Facebook not long ago and I need to go back and remember who the video was by, but it was about motivation. And it was basically like, motivation's bullshit.
You're never
going to be motivated to like go to the gym because of the way we're wired. You are never going to have the motivation. Like you have to, and it's super unsexy, but you have to develop habits. And it's like habit developing is probably one of the hardest, worst things anyone ever does ever. And it's the only way you will change your life in a sustainable and long-term fashion.
Yeah. That was Gretchen Rubin, and she was on Tom Bilyeu's show, Impact Theory.
Yeah.
I love Tom.
Yeah.
Tom was a guest on the show, and he's great. I love what he does. He's amazing. But interesting. So this is good. This is good. There's another thing that sort of connects to this. This is your why. I might be presumptuous of saying this is your why, but this is part of your why. This is your Italy story. You know, I've read about it. You haven't really shared it on the podcast before. But I want you to talk to the audience about why Italy is so significant for you. Because, you know, it was a moment where it was very low in your mind, but you had a moment where you found a ring that reminds you of your daily commitment. So can you share with the audience of why that is something that actually stays with you till today?
Yeah. So first off, I lived in Italy for 2 years. And so I lived there from 2004 to 2006 and went back in 2009. And I didn't know why I was going in 2009. I thought it was just kind of a like, oh, I just haven't been in 3 years and I want to catch up with my girlfriends and blah, blah, blah. But I hadn't fully recognized I was like hella depressed. I was sleeping all the time. I was in like just not physically in pain, but like my soul was in pain, massive pain. And so I go to Italy and I pack, you know, all these books and all this stuff and journals and things to do and all this. And on my first day there, I go to the rooftop. I was in Milan and I go sit on the rooftop of the Duomo, which is a beautiful, beautiful building. And I'm sitting up there and I have nothing but time and I'm enjoying the sun and all the different languages being spoke all around me. And I pull out Eat, Pray, Love. And I'm reading like the introduction. I don't even think it was the first chapter. And she's talking about how depressed she is and how she's on the floor of her bathroom bawling and just losing it, realizing the changes she needs to make in her life. And it just hit me. Like, I think I made it 5 pages in and closed the book and sat up on the rooftop crying for like an hour.
Wow.
Because I, for the first time, was able to recognize and realize how depressed I was and how much I was living a life that was so not me. Yeah. And I recognized in that moment I was going to have to go back to the States and break up with my boyfriend at the time. And all the changes I was going to have to be making in my life. And for me, I'm the kind of person that, like, my brain is, I think, was already rewired a little weird when I was born. Like, that kind of stuff doesn't, I was like, oh man, now that I know this and now that I've seen this, I like have to do this. And I don't have a choice. Like, I don't go into like the fear spiral. I'm just like, damn it, now I have to go do this thing.
Yeah.
So, but part of what I realized was that I was just kind of settling. Like, I had gotten into a relationship 3 years earlier and it was easy and things were fine and we had our routines and like, it was just like comfortable, but it wasn't me. And so I knew that I was picking up something special while I was in Italy, and I figured it was jewelry because there's a bridge in Florence and the whole bridge is covered in diamonds and, oh, it's divine. It's divine. It's the only bridge in Florence that was not bombed during World War II. And the rumor is that the general who was instructed to bomb it had bought his wife's ring there, his engagement ring, or her engagement ring. And that because of that, he refused to bomb it. So it's this amazing bridge. And so I went and ended up getting a ring that was, it's pink sapphire and diamond and white gold. And when I got it, it's big, like it pretty much spans between my two knuckles on my middle finger. And when I got it, I was like, oh, there's never going to be any way I'll wear this every single day. This will be like a special occasion ring. And now I wear it. I've worn it every day since June of 2009.
Yeah. Wow.
It really is my reminder of like, that was kind of the moment where I took a stand and I was like, this life of living simple and like just being in a relationship and doing the things and like living out the motions isn't for me. And this is kind of my moment where I'm taking a stand and being like, I am demanding something more of myself. And this is going to be my daily reminder that I love myself so much that I am willing to do it differently and do things that scare me and do things that are big in pursuit of, you know, living my best life and then helping others live theirs.
Yeah, no. And thank you for sharing that story. That's such a beautiful story. And ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Bree talk about how this ring reminds her on a daily basis of her commitment to stop running, to start creating. You know, when she gets up, she's reminded of her commitment as to why she's here. You know, it helps shed the expectations of the world and she just lives her life. And she does that to support women everywhere to do the same thing. When the possibilities for us to create, you know, our desired reality is almost limitless. So thank you for being a change agent and a change maker in that regard.
Thanks.
Now, let's talk about the book, Permission to Leap. You're an author, Bree. I don't know if that has sunk in yet. You're an author. So,
well, as we record this, it's coming out in like 9 days. So it's kind of sinking in, but like, I have a feeling that it probably won't until maybe like the day of or the day after. We'll see.
Well, we'll make sure this comes out right around the time of your launch so that it is fresh in other people's minds. And hopefully when you see the promotion, you're like, oh yeah, I wrote a book. It's called Permission to
Live.
Oh,
that's me.
So tell me, what is this book about? I mean, I know it's a lot about what we're talking about, but why now? And, you know, what led to this?
So I was in meditation in January, shortly after I made my own personal commitment to start pursuing building a seven-figure business. And I was meditating on my chair one day with my cat in my lap and got this really clear, you're writing a book this year. And you're leaving Los Angeles for 2 weeks in June to go write it. And I was like, oh, okay. When those kinds of messages come to me, and one, like, it was pretty specific, right?
Yeah.
When those kinds of messages come to me, I listen to them because I can't not. Like, it clearly came to me, and it came to me for a reason. And so I was like, all right, so I guess I'm writing a book this year. Cool. Like, what am I writing about? And where am I going for 2 weeks to go write it? So that's how the biggest expansion that I've had in my business in the last 3 years has all come through messages like that in meditation.
Yeah. That's great.
So I don't know why now, because I just got the message, and yeah, clearly have you read Big Magic?
I haven't. Who tell me more about it. Who writes that?
Elizabeth Gilbert wrote it, and she talks about how ideas are like living, breathing entities.
Gotcha.
And they come to us as humans, like asking us to bring them to life. Because, you know, we're the ones that are existing in the physical world. Ideas can't exist without a human to execute or implement it.
Right.
And so that ideas are like floating around, and they present themselves to humans being like, will you bring me to life? Will you give me life? And so, so this idea came to me, and I opened up to it. And my whole writing process was basically just to get out of my own way so that the book could come through me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've constantly been doing things that stretch you out of your comfort zone, things that you might initially have been afraid of, but things that are ultimately rewarding. So I want to thank you for that. So the book, though, what are they going to expect in it? I imagine it's on Amazon, and places. So if someone is thinking and listen to this podcast and already loves your story, they've fallen in love with you, Bree, at this point, because it's they're like, yo, she's amazing. Now they're like, okay, so what more am I going to learn from this book? What would you say?
Yeah. So the first half of the book is kind of like prep work. So it dives further into some of the things we've talked about, the comfort zone, the brain biology, the energetic vibrations and energetic frequencies and like that kind of stuff. It's like a foundation, like a prep. And then the second half of the book is what I found is over 20 years of taking leaps and studying other people that have and studying skydiving and like all these other things, there are six pretty consistent phases that everyone goes through. And so the second half of the book is like, all right, let me prepare you for all the stuff you're going to face. Because when you say yes to that vision, it is just the beginning. And you're going to go through a lot of things between that and actually bringing it to life. And so it just lays out everything. Like, this is what you're going to experience. Here are some great tools, some great resources, some meditations to download, some worksheets, some questions to dive into to do that inner work I talked about earlier, so that you can have your own personal foundation upon which you build your vision.
That's amazing. The foundation upon which you build your vision. And this is perfect timing too. I mean, it's coming out in November, right? And we're about to be at the end of the year. And a lot of times it's a good time to hit refresh. So it's good. Hey, Christmas gifts, New Year's gifts, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I've been telling people. I had a pre-order, and you could buy one, you could buy five, or you could buy 10. And on the 10 one, I was like, seriously, just get all your Christmas shopping done here. Like, just do it all here. It's fine. Everyone's going to love it.
that's so funny. So I'll definitely will make sure to put that in the show notes. Congrats on the book. Congrats on your success. And I just want to thank you, though, for being as raw and authentic as you have been throughout the podcast, because, you know, someone listened to you talk on the last podcast will say, oh my goodness, she's found her passion, right? I know she's had a difficult moment and now she's found her passion. But what they don't understand about entrepreneurship is that there's several ups and downs. And then you revealed, even after it looked like you found your passion, you got to the point where you couldn't pay rent. And now you're here again, and you're very much on the trajectory to have a seven-figure business. So this the reason why I was really excited to have Bree on, ladies and gentlemen, is that this just is a microcosm of what life is as an entrepreneur, what life is in general. And the fact that you own who you are and you own those mistakes, I don't know the mistakes, you own those downs and say, hey, I have to walk my talk. And many of us don't walk our talks, is so important today. I think you're definitely a great symbol of hope and power in that. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I even want to mention that now, you know, I have this book coming out, I'm building this business, all these things. That's not to say that I'm not still facing bumps and that I'm not still facing downs. Like, I had to go in my Facebook group this morning and be like, hey guys, I'm having to implement some greater boundaries in my life and in my business. And if you want to remain part of this, you know, group and community, this is what it's going to look like moving forward. And that was big. Like, that was hard for me to do. And so, you know, I don't know if the road bumps ever stop. I think that navigating through them just helps you make you more resilient.
Yeah.
To face the next one that comes along.
No, that's why I love the title of your book. You're saying permission to leap. It's not, you're not, you're giving them tools that they can apply to themselves on a constant basis. It's not that it's a fix, like, oh, I'm good for now.
I always like to think I am, or that I want to. I'm like, when are we going to arrive? Are we there yet? Can we be there? Are we done? But I say it kind of jokingly, but also kind of not jokingly.
Yeah, no. You're half joking. No, but see, if we're not challenged, we're not growing. So that's just the truth of the matter. But I know I asked you this last time, but I'm going to ask you this again. It is the mission of the podcast. It's my why. It's why I do everything. I believe that everyone can use their difference to make a difference. So, what is the way that you use your difference to make a difference, Bree?
I show up in my passion and my authenticity and my vulnerability to support others in saying yes to their visions, because I know how scary it is to take that leap and to say yes. And I'm unwilling to leave the planet in the same way that I found it. And, you know, if that means I get to bear all of my stuff publicly all over the place all the time to, like, example of what it looks like to, you know, bring a vision to life, then that's what I get to do. And I get to support other people in doing the same.
That's very beautiful. I love that. And where can people find you, and where can people find your book?
My website is BreeSeely.com. You can find me on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Bree Seely. And my book is on Amazon. You can either look up Permission to Leap in the title, or you can go to bit.ly/readP2L. The number 2L.
Yeah.
That'll take you straight.
We'll make sure we put that in the show notes in case anyone is trying to remember that. We'll put that in the show notes and we'll make them clickable. And we'll have them there. Oh, before we go, I have like this random thing to do here.
Are you going to sing to me?
Well, hold on. It's like, it's going to be, it's, is it, you remember this? This is not my voice, but this is the original.
I don't know, Teo. It's not the same.
Wow. There we go.
So good.
Thank you for indulging me in that. I was trying to sneak that in earlier, but then the stupid commercial played and I was like, oh, that's gonna be heard on the podcast. But I hope that you're able to continue to even achieve your mission much more. And thank you for allowing me to be as corny as I can be.
Thank you for showing up as you are in the world, because I think you're fantastic and I'm really grateful to know you. So.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.